All right. Welcome, everyone. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so today I thought I would take us on a bit of a detour, on a little bit of an excursion away from our typical American-focused content and move towards the People's Republic of China. And today I wanted to talk about Evergrande's House of Cards. I think that's a clever name. Just to really kind of give the basics of this story, you have Evergrande Group, or the Evergrande Real Estate Group, which is a firm in the People's Republic of China, a public firm that publicly traded firm, that is one of the larger real estate groups in the People's Republic of China. They've been around since the 90s, and they've been an instrumental part of the massive economic growth that the People's Republic of China has been experiencing over the last 20, 30, 40 years. But why they're making any news over here in the United States is because they are defaulting on their payments. According to an article from NPR, they're presently roughly $300 billion. They have $300 billion in debts that they have to pay off, and they are defaulting on their payments. And so this is kind of a troubling situation, at least as far as Evergrande is concerned. However, since they are one of the largest property developers in the People's Republic of China, property development groups in the PRC, that, you know, if this company were to implode, it would be you know, pretty significant as far as the company is concerned and its impact on the larger industry. So that could be troublesome. And so as a response to this, a lot of people are calling this a Lehman moment, you know, which is basically a reference to the financial crisis in 2008, when the real estate bubble burst in the United States, you know, as a result of a number of things. Chief among them, sort of an overconfidence and a tendency to hand out loans to people who may not be able to pay them back. And so a lot of people are calling this a Lehman moment here for Evergrande and what it might mean for the larger Chinese economy and the larger global economy. And so as a result of that, you have the centralized response coming from the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing to be for other actors, state-owned enterprises, to purchase assets from Evergrande. And, you know, this is just for the sake of clarification, a state-owned enterprise is an organization, a business venture that is owned by the state, i.e. the government, and the government is able to, you know, exercise a lot of power over that organization because they own it. Whereas when we look at Evergrande, for example, they are a publicly traded company. They are not state-backed, as far as I can tell, and so they are able to sort of act autonomously. But state-owned enterprises, not so much, in particular in the People's Republic of China, where there is only one political party. And so the CCP is urging the state-owned enterprises to buy up their assets. And so that is an attempt to sort of control the damage. And so there's no real direct bailout in terms of like stimulus to Evergrande and organizations like it that may have issues like this in the future. And so the aim and sort of the idea behind this is from Xi Jinping is to really clean up a lot of the real estate industry in the People's Republic of China. And why is that an issue? What needs to be cleaned up? Well, that's why we're here. As you all are probably well aware, the People's Republic of China has experienced incredible growth. In the last, like I said, 40, or if I've said in past episodes, 30, 40, 50 years, they've had, and they've had an incredible amount of growth. they've been able to turn themselves from a third world, impoverished, famine-filled country into a country filled with large cities and skyscrapers and industry and at an incredible rate. And a big piece of that is because they were because the country was able to build all of those cities. Infrastructure is a gimme project. Even if you see in the United States right now that the bipartisan infrastructure bill that's currently up in Congress and up for debate, you know, industry is a gimme. It's easy. It makes a lot of money. It provides a lot of jobs. Therefore, providing a lot of people with a lot of money, and it provides a public good to people. It provides, in the case of real estate, provides homes to people, et cetera, et cetera. So, infrastructure is a good, safe political bet in a way to make money, and so that's why I the Chinese Communist Party and the state-owned enterprises and groups like Evergrande were able to invest so heavily and make so much money out of this whole affair, because even since the 1996 when Evergrande was founded, you know, how many skyscrapers and how many gigantic apartment buildings and malls and all these sort of things, how many of those have gone up? And just by virtue of the People's Republic of China having so many people. So it's one of those situations where you can keep building and building and building and building. And that creates an overinflated sense of economic growth. And so, you know, and that's the issue with infrastructure, is that once it's built, it's built. And so there are obviously maintenance things that you can add on, but once it's done, it's done. And so you can't build a house, tear it down, build it up again, tear it down again. Once the house is built, it's built. Most of the money is being made on that building of the house and not small tweaks to the air conditioning, to the bathrooms, et cetera, et cetera. Most of the money is made when you build the house, not when you renovate it. And so what has happened is that sense of economic growth has not slowed down. Because they just keep building these groups out in the PRC. They just keep building things. And how do I articulate this this point? I have a chart. Again, I will link this in the, description. But it covers from 2008 to the first quarter of 2018. So this is about a 10-year stretch, and it's the share of home purchases in the People's Republic of China from 2008 to the first quarter of 2008 by number of homes. And it breaks it down by percentages. And so in 2008, you had 70% of home purchases were first homes, 27% were second homes, and 3% were third homes. So that accounts for, you know, 70% first homes, 30% second or, you know, multiple, you know, their secondary or tertiary places of residence. So over those next 10 years, however, the share of first home purchases drops significantly. That goes down from 70% to 31%. So by the time 2018, the first quarter of 2018 comes around, the diagram has flipped. Now it is roughly 30% of home purchases in the People's Republic of China are for first homes, and roughly 70% are second, third home purchases. And so those are just 70% of those new homes are sitting empty. And it's one of those where, again, real estate is generally seen here in the US and in China alike, is seen as a safe investment, right? You know, it's something that you can make money off of. But if everybody has three homes, or if everybody has two homes, it's not really valuable. Because if everyone has it, it's not valuable. And so you have this hyperinflated real estate bubble and industry, and it's to the point where you have these ghost cities that I've seen in many articles about this Evergrande and videos I've seen in the past, where there are literally entire towns and cities that are vacant, empty, because no one lives in them. These groups, they built the apartments, the malls, shopping centers, movie theaters, et cetera, et cetera, but no one lives in them. They just sit there empty. But the companies make money off of it, so they keep building. So I guess the aim of this is to sort of slow that thing down and really get an accurate idea of what the value is of groups like Evergrande, et cetera, et cetera. And it's also on a possibly more nefarious level to move some of those assets into state-owned enterprises, local branches of the CCP, et cetera, et cetera. So I can't confirm that, but that's just a theory I'm having upon thinking this through. And I think another thing worth mentioning before we wrap up, but I'll just kind of make this last little point on this one, is I think that the Evergrande case highlights a number of things that are particular about Chinese companies. And even though it is a real estate group, they have a number of different subsidiaries. And this is something that's very common, actually, among Chinese companies, because they, large Chinese companies, even though it isn't a market-Leninist society, Chinese companies will still get promoted very easily, and they will get boosts from the Chinese Communist Party, et cetera, so that they're able to succeed instead of foreign companies and things like that. And so Evergrande owns a soccer club, Guangzhou Evergrande FC. They have automotive investments, entertainment, finance. I mean, it's all over the map. And so the issue becomes, as if Evergrande faces trouble, since it is so interconnected, it affects all sorts of industries. And if you look at this as well, there are other Chinese companies. I'm thinking of Tencent is one that has holdings in WeChat, which is an app that basically functions like Facebook, Venmo, WhatsApp, all in one application, among other things. That's just one. There's just a few. And Tencent has holdings in entertainment industries, and even they're financing the new Top Gun movie. So these Chinese companies, they get a lot of advantages when they're first starting out, and then they're able to be like Amazon and break into all sort of industries without any sort of pushback. And then when these sort of things happen, it becomes a little dicey. So I thought I would just take some time to sort of explain the Evergrande situation in the context of the Chinese real estate market that is oversaturated with homes and other investments in infrastructure, and to really examine that, and answer the question that I'm going to leave you all with here. It's like, how can that rate of growth that the People's Republic of China, how can that continue once everything's already been built, or once everybody has a decent material standing? And that's the question that I feel that the People's Republic of China is going to have to ramble with and reckon with as time goes on.